All right, welcome again to Taking It Down, brought to you by the Alabama Tape website. I'm your host, Blaine Duncan. Today I'll be joined by a special friend of the pod, Kelly Duncan, to talk about the season that was with Big Little Lies, just wrapped up this weekend. A little later on, I'll be joined by the Alabama Tape host himself, the mother podcast for the Alabama Tape. Corey Hanna hosts it. And we're going to attempt to break down and think through some of the Marvel news that came out of Comic-Con. They released a lot of Phase 4 news. We're going to talk about exactly what they said. A quick shout-out, of course, goes to Adam Morrow, our usual co-host. Adam is on the road, making money, doing his thing. But here it comes, taking it down. Let's get that ambient popped and go ahead and start taking it down. Okay, I'm being joined now by a close friend of the pod, Kelly Duncan. Kelly, say hey to everybody.
Hey to everybody.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. We just wrapped up the season finale of Big Little Lies.
Okay, so what? Give me your. Let's start with your thoughts on specifically the finale.
For the finale, I thought it was the best one all season. So I had been kind of maybe not let down, but just I didn't feel like this had the impact that the first one did. And plus, I'd read the book before that. So I had been feeling like it was declining. But this episode, I felt, has changed my mind.
What about it was better?
Maybe just the pace of the action. I didn't feel like there were a whole lot of lulls in the action. Just being like nitpicky, I felt like there were some things they could have left out story-wise, but as far as wrapping everything up and leading into another season, possibly, I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah, we're here to pick nits, actually. What about, so we're kind of getting into season two overall. It felt unnecessary. But you can't help but watch all of those actresses and actors. So I keep tuning in.
I mean, Meryl Streep stole the show in so many ways this season. I feel like she really made it, whether it was necessary or not to have the season. She stole the show. What a great casting get for them.
She was the passive aggressive mother-in-law.
Oh, times a million. And yeah. Then in this episode, I mean, even though she's just horrible, I just really wanted to like her as a character. And then this episode, when she started in on the victim blaming in the courtroom, I thought, okay, she's not a redeemable character. And so, you know, when Celeste shut the door in her face, I thought, finally, that seems like it really tied up the loose ends in my mind about her character.
Your finally didn't come with the face slap a couple episodes ago?
No. Mm-mm.
No. But you wanted to like her?
Yeah, I wanted to like her. I mean, I kind of felt for her because I was like, you know, and I guess this is revealing more about me, but I just think sometimes about Andy, you know, what if she grows up and she does
your daughter
horrible? Yeah, our daughter. What if she grows up and does something horrible? Or like she's really not a good person, which we already know she is a good person. But I wanted to feel for Mary Louise in that her son was terrible. And I felt like she was just kind of grasping, trying to hold on to some part of her kid with, you know, her pursuit of custody.
See, that's interesting. I was just wanting her to get her just desserts. I was like, this woman is passive aggressive, the worst. Everything she says has a twist to it. Like, I feel like I know these people in real life. I work with those kinds of people, you know.
Oh, she is mean and cold AF for sure. But I felt like, you know, that just from her perspective, I just felt like she was alone and wanting to hold on to some bit of her son. And then we learned a lot more today, you know, about her losing her other son, possibly at her own hand. So she just had a lot of issues. But then, you know, when we got into the courtroom, what she said, there's just no going back from that. Even after she saw the video.
What part do you think, what was the line for you? Do you remember the exact?
He's the victim. When she said he's the victim. Knowing that, and whether she said it or not, knowing that he had raped Jane and was abusive and, you know, constantly emotionally and physically abusive to her daughter-in-law, to sit there and say, he's the victim. He's not here. He's the victim.
Yeah, she's trash, man.
She didn't. I'm not saying he deserved to die. I just don't want to say that about anybody, that anybody deserves to die. But that doesn't erase the things that he did in life.
You're really doing a good thing. What television critic Emily Nussbaum tries to get people to avoid is being the bad viewer. Like, and she defines it kind of as the person who watches The Sopranos to watch the killings, you know?
Right.
And you, so yeah, you actually almost felt for Perry, other than the fact that he was an awful person.
Oh, he's terrible. Yeah, he's terrible. But, you know, did they ever mention Mary Louise's husband or the boy's dad?
I wondered that myself, and it would take some research, so I'm going to say no.
She never fessed up. Mary Louise never fessed up to abusing the boys, but mm-mm. I just wondered.
You got the vibe that she was definitely emotionally abusive to Perry, though.
Yes, she had to be. I mean, that kind of
hurt. And that wasn't out of character, right?
No, no, no. She had to be. If she was to Celeste, she was to every. I mean, even her little quips to the other women were, you know, when she said that about the nanny to Renata, like, she's just getting her digs in.
Yeah. Well, let's sort of speed through a few, maybe all of the characters, the main characters anyway. You give me some quick thoughts on each. We'll start with the ladies, but that'll help you. It'll open the door for you to comment on the husband or boyfriend or whatever. You ready?
Okay.
Madeline, and then there's Ed there. Talk to me about Madeline.
Okay, so I love Madeline and Madeline's character because I feel like she goes for what she wants, and I'm not really even talking about her affair, but just in general, she's so assertive, and that is a quality that I crave, you know, to have in myself that I don't have. She's just very assertive in all situations, but she's also likable, and so I like her character, but I'm just going to tell you, I feel like her whole storyline this season was a miss for me.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy any scenes with her in them unless they were related to the deal with Celeste and Mary Louise.
Yeah, the Monterey Five.
Right. I mean, I will tell you that in the vow renewal, her flower crown was amazing. That was her most redeemable scene in the whole second season.
So her plot line was superfluous. It's like, we have to give Reese Witherspoon something to do.
And I know you didn't want to talk directly about the men, but Ed, I mean,
he's a drag, right?
He is. And I love Adam Scott. I want to like him. But, you know, even whenever he met with Elizabeth Olsen lookalike, it's not Elizabeth Olsen, but it's the girl that looks like her. That's yes. In Homeland. But even when he met with her, I was just like, you know, I love you, but I don't care about this right now. You know, even if he had slept with her, or maybe he did, but I just didn't care. So
I think it was implied he didn't.
Okay. Right. Because he asked for the vow renewal.
No, I think there was something in the previous episode that sort of blatantly said he did not.
Okay.
Maybe. I read that, but you know, it's worth looking into. All right, let's go into, speaking of things that might be irredeemable, what about Jane, her bad haircut, and that guy, Corey?
Okay, I love her regardless of haircut. So even in this season when I didn't feel like she had any really, I mean, besides, of course, she's dealing with her sexual trauma, but I just didn't feel like they gave her the part that she needed, which I guess maybe that's because she was the focus of season one. Or one of the main focuses, yeah. They kind of let her slide this time, and I didn't enjoy it as much. But I think she does such a good job of, especially in a rape survivor situation, of just like conveying that insecurity about just everyday things, like, you know, when they were even kissing, or, you know, him being around Ziggy or things like that. I just feel like that actress does such a good job of making that seem sincere, that she really was hurt and she really is, you know, insecure about living her daily life.
Her performance as Jane that I thought was minor, but it went a long way. In the courtroom, when they showed the footage that the twins happened to have recorded of Celeste getting beaten by her husband,
Jane has this reaction where she's not just crying, but she's kind of waving away the tears with her hands. It just felt very lived in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's shift into Celeste and the twins. What?
Well, before let me back up just a minute.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, like, about her being. Okay, hold on. Let me gather my thoughts for a second. With her being the rape survivor, did you feel that it, I mean, I guess it was necessary to bring in the boyfriend?
Yeah, you had to show her getting over it, but he also felt like a drag. I didn't care about him. He just never was a fully fleshed out person to me.
No, but one thing that I did like that they did was that I felt like that she and he were similar age and life experience, I guess, instead of going for like an older man or someone who seemed like true to the town and aged. I liked that they seemed like they probably would have stuff in common and would date.
So they got the casting right. But right. What about just the writing of that guy? Did you?
No, he was boring. So boring. He had no, I couldn't even tell you one line he said the whole time. I mean, I felt like the most powerful scene with him in it was just where, you know, she wanted to have sex with him and she couldn't. I mean, that was very powerful, but that was, I felt from her position, not his.
Yeah. All right. What about Bonnie and Nathan, or just Bonnie?
So one of the things that I wrote in my notes about the women, and I think it's especially true with Bonnie, but we just don't know it yet, is this whole season was just about unresolved trauma. And Bonnie in particular, I was interested in because it never really came out to my knowledge, like what was the real root of her issue with her mother? What did you think about that?
She was abusive. Right.
Well, I mean, that was implied, but was it explicit?
I think it was very emotional and spiritual abusiveness, because she even comments to her dad, "You didn't protect me." You know, there was a pretty big long conversation about that. I think that's what it amounted to.
Yeah. I guess that conversation, I was thinking like, yeah, I guess more emotionally abusive, just, you know, not. Like relentless. That's kind of how I took that, was that she was relentless when I was growing up and you didn't protect me. You didn't help.
Yeah. But it was a real strong, like verbal abusive situation is what I gathered.
And I wish they had gone back to the deal with the crystal where she like creeps in their bedroom at night and left that crystal. They never did even come back to that about what that was about. I don't know. Maybe that was just showing that the mother is unhinged as well.
Yeah, and this show was shot by Andrea Arnold. I think I'm getting her name right. A lot of the episodes were shot by her as a director. And then the Jean Vallée guy came in, and he was the director for the first season and also shot Sharp Objects. You can see the visual language.
That makes a lot of sense.
And yeah, the visual languages are very similar.
Yes, and especially with the starts of all of this second season being the flashbacks to the night of the party, that is right. Definite Sharp Objects style for sure.
But going back to that, there was some kind of behind the scenes controversy, and it's possible or rumored that when he came back and picked up a few of the episodes that they went in and changed some of her direction. So it's possible some of that stuff you're thinking, where was it, is on the cutting room floor.
That's a bummer. Yeah. But, you know, I felt the ending, which we haven't gotten to yet, but I felt the ending left it open if they do a season three to really dig deeper into Bonnie's character. So
in jail, Bonnie's character in jail.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Last person we need to discuss, and she is a walking meme, and it kind of annoyed me because I feel like the writers were writing toward that, for her to play it bigger and bigger and bigger. And Laura Dern playing Renata, and of course her tumultuous relationship with Gordon.
Yes. So Renata, with all of her flaws, I mean, regardless of her flaws, I mean, she is a boss bitch. Well, are we cursing?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're good.
Taking it down. Okay. So she's a boss, which I was so conflicted in this season with her because I want her to be that. Like, if that's her, then I want her to be that 100% of the time. But then it goes into her oxygen thief husband and how he, you know, did all this stuff and she lost all of her money. It's like, if you, what, where's the prenup, Renata? And how are you letting him do this? How are you letting him sleep with the nanny? The most cliche of all cliches. But this episode, she was redeemed. And when she started swinging that baseball bat, I was sitting there thinking, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I like that. That was over the top, but also warranted.
Super over the top, especially with the line that they gave him about the nanny. That felt disingenuous to me because I don't feel like he had been like that overt in his snootiness to that point. But yeah, but still, she...
He was snooty and a jerk, but he wasn't cruel.
No, right.
Yeah.
And you would think that at that point when they've lost everything, that he would just be like, okay, you know, I've got to figure something out. But instead, he was just still trying to find something to be arrogant about.
So was this season a wash? I mean, they could have saved 7 episodes if Bonnie would have just, in episode 1, go to the cops and admit, this is the trouble I'm having and here's why.
I don't know, because if I'm thinking about the season as a whole, like, I felt like this season had a whole lot more overarching thematic ideas than the first season did. Like, you know, thinking about the unresolved trauma and then just like mothers and children and, you know, PTSD and like, you know, what happens after something bad happens to you and having to like get back to your normal life. I just felt like that to me was satisfying to kind of dig into those characters and see, you know, see that play out.
You kind of stole my thunder for the last question. Oh, I was going to, no. I'm messing with you. What do you think season 2 is saying about motherhood? That was the big thing I was trying to wrap my head around. I just want to hear what you got to say. What's it saying about, cause you're a mother. What's season 2 say about it?
Well, Madeline said it. You know, I guess I have to apologize for the writers for Madeline because she said it tonight. She said, you know, nobody's perfect, no mother's perfect, or something to that effect to Celeste. And I mean, in this group of women, she's exactly right. And in real life, she's exactly right. Everybody has things they, you know, things in their past that they're trying to deal with and just everyday life that they're trying to deal with as humans. And then you have to try to raise a respectable, kind, productive human at the same time. It's just overwhelming. And I felt like that scene in the car with Celeste and Madeline was really just got to the heart of it. That had to have been like one of the main points of season 2.
Yeah. So you're saying they sort of stated their thesis?
Yes. I felt like that was really explicit. I mean, you know, and then especially digging into Mary Louise and her parenting and then Bonnie's mother and even like the change in dynamics between Renata and Amabella. Like, where is Amabella?
Where is Amabella? This is like the issue I need addressed.
APB, Amber Alert for Amabella, because Renata was so up her butt the whole first season. And then the second season, which I mean, to her credit, she's dealing with some stuff, but still it's a total change in her parenting style due to her circumstances. So I think that really just, I felt so much for Celeste because I felt like in the courtroom scenes, when she's trying to defend herself to be a good mother, it's like, yeah, but she's also just lost her husband who was physically and emotionally abusive. Nobody would be in a good state of mind, but she's still trying to be a good parent. So I think it's just that, like Madeline just said, you know, nobody's perfect, but everybody's trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you land on the season?
Better tonight than I would have said last week. I'm going to give it maybe a 2.5 out of 5 stars. What do you think? Two and a half wine glasses out of 5 wine glasses. Yes.
I don't know. I think it was just unnecessary, but the acting was stellar. The writing was a little over the top. It's good. It's one of those good HBO soap operas, dare I say. And that's fun. It put me on my couch on Sunday night. That's all I want. So, you know, what would you want from season 3? They may or may not do one. You never can tell. What would you want from one?
I would want to definitely get more into Bonnie. I felt like she was such in a fog and a haze from her PTSD from the event at the party and then her dealing with her mother that we really just didn't get to see her, you know, her just anything about her. I'd like to see her some more. I'd like to see Renata go out on her own and get back to, you know, the women on top status by herself without her jerk of a husband. And, you know, I don't know. I'd like to see more maybe from the children's perspective. I enjoyed that in season one, just the dynamics of the children, which we only really got to focus in on the boys' children, the children who are boys. I guess that's the way I wanted to say that. Children who are boys this time. So right. I'd like to go back to, you know, some of the girls too. One thing that kind of crossed my mind too when we're talking about the parenting aspect, you know, and motherhood, is that I don't know that there, if you were saying like on paper, who is a fit parent, I don't know that there would be any on the show. Like maybe Ed, you know,
Ed seems to be pretty good.
Ed, and then Bonnie said that her husband was a good father. She said that to him tonight before she told him she didn't love him anymore, which is really sad. So, you know, Madeline is at least doing her best to try to get her kid, you know, to be on the right track. I don't know. I just don't think they're, as far as like parenting, that they're, I think they're trying to get play around with the idea that there's no ideal way to be. Like there's nobody who's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. Parenting is hard. All right. Well, we're going to wrap with that. That's season two of Big Little Lies. Who knows if they'll come out with season three. I'm sure those actresses and actors' timelines are crazy. And it was good. It was good to see them acting and doing such good work. Just wish there was more meat to the story this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks, Kelly, for joining us here on Taking It Down. And we'll get you back again sometime soon.
All right. See you later.
Hey folks, thanks for listening. Normally this would be an advertising break, so if you have a company, business, or fellow podcast you'd like to advertise with Taking It Down, give us a shout. In the meantime, don't forget about the Alabama Take's main podcast, conveniently named The Alabama Take. You can find it where you found this one, which is to say it's on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and all other podcast locales. Plus, visit The Alabama Take at thealabamatake.com. That's our main website, or follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and there's a YouTube page out there too, which we hope to get some more things going on. Lastly, if you have questions, thoughts, comments, positive affirmations, send those to our email at thealabamatake@gmail.com. That's one word, thealabamatake@gmail.com. All right, let's get back into it. All right, I'm being joined by host of The Alabama Take, the Mother Podcast, Corey Hanna's with me. What's up, Corey?
What's up?
All right, so we are going to talk about the new developments with some MCU plans and what happened over the weekend on Saturday at San Diego Comic-Con. That's the big one where they do a lot of announcements. It's grown bigger and bigger every year. MCU came out and just dropped a lot of Phase 4 information, and they may add to that, but we're just going to talk about some of the things that are possibly, probably coming. Kind of give our thoughts. As far as Phase 4 is concerned, what are your general thoughts, Corey? Because I kind of was like, wasn't sure if I wanted them to go in the space only kind of place, or, you know, seems like that might be where they're going.
Yeah, I don't know. My overall reaction was I'm excited about a couple things, but honestly, I'm probably more excited about the TV aspects or Disney Plus aspects or whatever they're calling it than I am any of the movies, really. The Thor movie I think will be fun, and I'm sure we'll touch on that shortly, but that's of the ones that were officially announced, that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, let's get into these. The first one, which is the Eternals. They've got that slated for November 6, 2020. That's going to be, that's kind of far off, isn't it?
Yeah, but if they've got, I thought Black Widow will come out in May or something.
Maybe right. I don't have these pulled up in chronological order. That was my goal.
Okay.
To have these in chronological
and
order.
And I only say that because I know they're shooting that one and have been for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Nope, you're right. So we'll just, I tell you what, we'll rattle them off in the order that they announced them because I don't think they did the Black Widow announcement until later on. So we're going to start with the Eternals. You're right, because Black Widow is going to come out May 1st, 2020. So, but cool. The Eternals.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I honestly don't know diddly squat about them. My only sense of excitement is that I love Kumail Nanjiani, and I will watch it, if nothing else, just for him. But, I mean, the same could be said. I didn't know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy when that initially came out, and that's one of my favorite sets of movies from the first 10 years.
Yeah, that exactly my train of thought. I don't know jack shit about the Eternals, and I just kept thinking, do I care? Do you know, sell me on this.
Kumail Nanjiani, I mean.
Yeah, that's one way I think they've already started to sell me. I don't care too much one way or the other. I don't have really anything against Angelina Jolie, but the others are interesting. Richard Madden, I liked him in Game of Thrones. Brian Tyree Henry is the one that got me, though.
Which one is that?
Are you an Atlanta fan of the show?
You know, I only watched an episode or two, and I need to go back and, like, watch more. Yeah. I've been very terrible about my TV watching in the last couple of years.
He's fantastic. He, like, I said last summer I would almost watch him in anything. He's pretty good.
Awesome.
So he has me interested. Selma Hayek, I could take her or leave her. You know, I don't have a strong opinion on her. So the cast so far might have me a little interested, but they're going to have to work hard. And when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I remember thinking, I won't see that in the theater. This will be probably the first Marvel movie I don't go to the theater and see. But I did because of the reviews. So it might hinge on reviews, but I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of married to it. I think I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, you kind of have to at this point. Now,
but I'm like you. So I'm like you on this next announcement. They came out. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. I saw a headline this morning. It was like the Eternals will be the Avengers of Phase 4. And I was like, whoa, pump the brakes.
Where's the fire lightning? I don't see it. Okay, so, but the next one, I'm this has my interest peaked. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I'm all in.
Yeah. And the logo with the Captain America shield kind of in the background. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I did. And the most exciting thing to me about that is just exploring those two characters and that friendship or whatever, because they weren't the best of friends, you know, in the movies. It's going to be interesting. And I did see this morning where they said that Falcon will wear the Captain America suit at some point in the series.
Okay. And it gives them more space to play with. It'll be serialized, obviously. I don't know how many episodes, but, you know, they've got more
room. I think it's 6 or 8. There's not a ton.
Okay. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't need a 22-episode season of that.
No. I think with these series, they're going to keep them short and sweet. They might have gone a little too long on some of the Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's.
Yeah, they totally did.
You know, I think you could have probably topped any of those series out of 10 and been just fine.
And I'm gonna circle back around to those shows very briefly. But yeah. Falcon and Winter Soldier are resurrecting, so to speak. The character didn't die. Daniel Brühl as Baron Zemo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be interested how he factors in. That'll be good.
That's besides the Thor movie in terms of the TV, that's probably the one I'm the most excited about.
Oh yeah. You're going to get Disney Plus.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt. You know, my wife, Jamie, is a Marvel fanatic. Could probably quote most of the movies. We're all in, and then Mandalorian will be on there. So yeah.
And in my house with a 2-year-old running around, it'll be a great benefit. It'll be a boon to have some of those Disney cartoons just to pull up. Yeah. She'll enjoy it and we'll enjoy it too. So, all right, moving on. So this next one, they're going to have to sell me on it. It was, am I going to get the pronunciation right? Shang-Chi?
We probably will spend the least amount of time on this one because I know absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But But they've started to rope me in with the subtitle, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which fans know that started with Iron Man 1.
Yeah. Remember?
And then really heavy in Iron Man 3, as it turns out that the Ben Kingsley character was not who he said he was. Mandarin.
I almost said Manchurian.
So they're kind of going back around to Ben Kingsley as Mandarin, or they could. That door is definitely sure. open. Did you ever see any of those one-shots that Marvel did?
I saw one or two of them. I remember the one specifically about Thor's hammer in the desert.
And they did
there was one
that,
about Peggy Carter that yep. I saw, but yep. I don't. Those may be the only two that I saw.
Okay, well, there's one that's worth watching for anybody listening. I think you can find them on YouTube now. They're like 10 minutes long, but they kind of, not kind of, it went to the Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin in jail, where he basically said there is another Mandarin out there.
Yeah.
Something to that effect. It kind of went back and retconned it, I suppose, that one shot. Yeah. So anyway, Shang-Chi, I know shit about it, but Legend of the Ten Rings, okay, let's see sure. where that goes. The next announcement, they did another TV show, Disney Plus, spring of 2021. We got WandaVision. Where are you on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it. They're not my favorite two characters. I do enjoy the Vision storyline. And they kind of hooked me a little bit in Infinity War. It became a little more something I was interested in a little more. But before that, I was just kind of like, well, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I'll watch it for sure. I'm basically in on any of these shows.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they're gonna be on my TV. But talk to me about what do you think? Is Vision coming back to life? Or is this what are they doing here?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they've announced at what point in the storyline all this takes place. I know, and we can get to that soon. The Loki when it takes place, but yeah, I'm not sure.
That's the next announcement. Another Disney Plus Loki, spring of 2021, around the same time, maybe.
Yeah, and that one they're saying is it takes place right after he disappeared in Endgame.
Yeah, so what happens to him? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so that's a good question about the WandaVision. My assumption would be, obviously, it would have to take place, but then that would be kind of odd that they are going back for a prequel for Black Widow, so maybe that's what they're doing with WandaVision as well.
I don't know how into I am a prequel about a character that's dead.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
How much interest can you generate? Because she should have gotten her movie 4 or 5 years ago when she was alive and doing and involved with Avengers adjacent stuff. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. That subtitle's interesting.
Yeah, and they're bringing Wanda into that one as well. So that makes me wonder, like if they're with her WandaVision thing and then bringing her right back into that movie.
And they're saying it'll connect to the WandaVision. Somehow. Yeah. One bleeds into the other.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. You know, Doctor Strange is not my favorite movie of the previous 10 years, but I did enjoy it. I think I liked it a little better the second time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not super excited, but I mean, all of these I'm in regardless, but that one's kind of a middle of the road for me.
So far, we're pretty tepid on some of these.
Yeah, I may not break my neck to get to the theater to see it. I'm sure I'll see it there, but it may not be opening night like I, you know, was for the last couple of years on Marvel movies.
Yeah. I like Cumberbatch. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that about it. The What If, Marvel Studios What If is going to be, it's animated. It's going to have the voice of the Watcher, that's Jeffrey Wright playing that, and some of the people are going to reprise their roles as voice.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I think Carter, my son, mentioned that just a few months ago. I think, you know, he just kind of blurted out one night while we were on the couch. I was like, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if they did something with What If? Yeah. So that was pretty exciting.
I like how this one is not canon. You know what I mean? Like, watch it if you want to. You know, it might be sort of almost anthologized a little.
Sure.
Could be, I suppose. Up next, another small screen, Disney Plus, Hawkeye.
This is one that I would have been super cold on.
Yeah.
A few months ago, but I'm way more interested post Endgame, because of the development of that character. Like, Hawkeye was one of those guys that I was like, why is he even there before? Yep. Quite a bit, you know, but I really enjoyed what they did with his character in Endgame. So as long as this is a post Endgame series, I'm in.
I think it will be, because it's supposed to introduce Kate Bishop.
Yeah.
So Jeremy Renner, I'm glad he's going to have more to do, but Hawkeye, okay, we'll see. That was fall of 2021. We've got some time to hear more. Yeah. And up next is the one I think you and I are probably both going to agree on. Thor, Love and Thunder. We're going to have Natalie Portman returning, and they made the announcement that she's going to be Thor.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, do it. Yes, because I like Natalie Portman. She's pretty cool. She's a great actress. Waititi's going to return as the director, and so we're going to have Jane Foster. And I like the idea that they don't just disregard characters. Like, okay, Jane Foster hasn't appeared in 4 movies. She's gone. No, we can bring her back. I like that. Like, it's like real life a little bit. You know, people come and go.
Yeah. The comic series that's based on, it's a shame that I haven't actually read that one, because Jason Aaron is one of my favorite writers, but I was hot and heavy into the Star Wars books he was writing around the same time that Thor series was out. But, you know, he's a Jasper, Alabama native.
Okay,
I went to school in Birmingham, college and stuff, and then moved away. But that's a wildly popular series. And so I'm very excited to see. I guess I'll go back at some point and read the books leading up to that, because it's one of those that's very polarizing. It's very popular, but there's also a lot of people that are like, you know, to hell with this or whatever, blah, blah, yes. blah. But I'm into it. I'll definitely give it a watch for sure. I think, and like I said, it's probably of the movies, it's the one that I'm the most excited about.
Yeah, I think so too. Me and the, if you haven't seen it, pull it up. If you're listening, pull it up. Look at how they've got the font for the announcement. Thor, Love and Thunder looks like a He-Man font. Have you seen
that's
it?
Awesome. I saw it, but I didn't make that connection.
Oh, yeah. It's like straight out of He-Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Masters of the Universe circa 1985.
Yeah.
We've touched on Black Widow. Not a lot more to say on that.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which is maybe the most interesting, but also one of the ones I'm more removed from than the rest. It's Blade. Yeah.
Yeah. I that's one of those, like, I enjoyed the movie in the 90s or whenever that was.
Yeah.
With Wesley Snipes, but I had zero idea that it was a comic movie at the time.
I don't think anyone did.
But, I absolutely love Mahershala Ali as Cottonmouth in Luke Cage.
So that's where I wanted to come back to the Marvel shows that have been on Netflix. This is like a total shitting on those shows, isn't it?
It is weird, and Jamie and I had that discussion this morning, that she's not a fan of the fact that they've used Alfre Woodard in 2 different roles, and she's like, isn't it totally weird that they're going to use the same actor to play a completely different character? Which, on the one hand, it seems very odd, but on the other hand, like, he seems perfect for that role. So.
Oh, he's perfect. Like, I'm totally for him being in that role, but it's just like, I haven't watched the newest Jessica Jones because I know it has no bearing on what's going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I didn't even finish Daredevil because, it was good. And I just like, okay, this has no bearing on anything going forward. I like some consistency. But
yeah,
I'm a little disappointed that they had to use him. But if you're going to use somebody, go with Ali. He is awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact, he may be one of my favorite actors working right now. In True Detective this year, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I heard that. I didn't watch it. The second season just kind of turned me off of that show. But
yeah. All right, man. Well, there we go. There's the Phase 4 MCU of what we know. And supposedly there might even be more, like maybe an Ant-Man 3, maybe a new Guardians.
Yeah. Yeah, James Gunn did post last night. He posted some excitement about the announcements, and somebody replied and said, you know, what about Guardians 3? And he said that it's definitely happening, but they're getting the other stuff out first. And he's working on Suicide Squad. So I guess as soon as he's done with that, he'll shift focus to Guardians. And they even teased future X-Men and confirmed that they will be doing Fantastic Four at some point as well. So.
Yeah, that was the one I was leaving out, Fantastic Four.
And I know we kind of brushed over it, but Loki, probably behind Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki is the one, the other series that I'm most excited about because I absolutely love that character.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about that one.
Tom Hiddleston plays it well, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's amazing.
So, all right, there's the MCU Phase 4 loose plans, probably. I think it'll be kind of fun to see how Thor gets away from the Guardians to show up in his own movie.
Yeah, that will be interesting since he left with them. I mean, obviously a lot of time's going to pass between when we last saw him or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe they'll let them make an appearance somehow.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it. Any more thoughts? MCU stuff?
You know, I'm not as excited about this as I am. I know they're basically starting over. I do think it kind of sucks. At some point, I wish they'd bring in Kamala Khan, aka Miss Marvel. They've got her in one of the animated shows that's on right now, but I'm sure they've got plans and they'll bring her in eventually. But you know, I'm not sure that we need a Shang-Chi movie or Shang-Chi movie or whatever before we need a Kamala Khan. But I'm sure they've got a reason for it, and Kevin Feige has proved that he knows what he's doing. So that's got my money. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And Captain Marvel, we didn't mention her. Surely that'll have another movie. She will.
Yeah, that one. They've said that one. There's definitely going to be another Black Panther.
True.
You would have thought they would have sprinkled at least one of those bigger titles in to this first half of Phase 4, but what do I know?
Yeah, what do I know either? I'm certainly no movie executive. All right, well, great to have you, Corey.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, we'll have you back up again soon.
That's it for episode 2 of Taking It Down. We'll hope that you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast if you enjoy it. As always, you can visit our regular site, The Alabama Take, and subscribe to the mother podcast of them all, just called The Alabama Take. Come back in 2 weeks where we'll once again try to find ourselves taking it all down. Thanks for joining us. See ya.